Hi there, and welcome to A Different Way of Seeing. Have you ever wondered how a disabled person lives their life? Join our host, Lois Drachen, as she chats to people about work, education, travel, sport, the arts, and leisure, and the tools and techniques they use to live their lives with the disability. And now, on with the show.
Hi, it's Lois. I'd like to ask you a favor. And if you think you'd like to help, please stay tuned after today's interview. And I promise all this will cost you is a little bit of time and effort. Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Way of Seeing, a podcast where we talk all things disability. I'm your host, Lois Strachan. Today has been, I've been really crazy busy over the last 2 days, so I may not have the normal energy that I usually have, but, well, I'm really excited to introduce you to my guest today, Leonard Gross. Leonard is joining us from the USA. So, Leonard, whereabouts in the USA are you? Which state are you in?
I am in Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida. Wow, that is quite an amazing place. Welcome to the podcast. It's really great to have you with us today.
Time zones are a nightmare.
This is true. I can well imagine. But
yes, they are.
Thank you for accommodating a time that is actually good for me as well. I really do appreciate
it. Just to let your listeners know, because I know you have listeners in your country, it is now 10 a.m. in the morning on Friday morning.
And on my side, it's 4 p.m., but at least still on Friday. So, yeah. So, Leonard, I usually start the same way. And what I usually do is just to ask people to introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about who you are.
Okay. As you said, my name is Leonard Gross. I have a disability called cerebral palsy. Are you familiar?
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't need me to tell your listeners what it is about?
Well, I think it'd be good to give my listeners a little bit of information about how your disability impacts on your life and what's caused your disability. So it would be great if you could give us a little bit of information about that.
Yes. Cerebral palsy is a lack of oxygen brain injury from birth.
Okay.
So I was born premature, but that doesn't cause any problem unless something else happens. So that's how I started. I have dual disability. I have also severe dyslexia. I am what used to be called functionally illiterate. Do you want me to elaborate on that one?
Yes, please. I'm curious to know, what functionally illiterate actually means in terms of, what you are able to do and what you are less able to do.
Okay, there's a difference between then and now. Let me explain. Okay. Functionally illiterate means that you can't read or write.
Okay.
But that has resolved itself because now I have a computer. And a reason I came on here is because now I have a podcast called The Disabled Life.
Yep. And we're going to be chatting a bit about your podcast a little bit later.
Yes.
I'd like to understand a little bit more about the dyslexia. I mean, you mentioned that things have changed, that you were functionally illiterate, but you've managed to accommodate that to a greater degree. So tell us what accommodations you've put into place that help you work with the reading and writing aspect.
Okay. I don't have to worry about reading and writing anymore because if I need to read something, I come to my computer and it reads it to me.
So a little bit like I use a screen reader, what you are using is a similar kind of concept.
Right. I use something called spoken content on the Apple computer. Since I am sighted, I'm saying that for the listeners. Since I am sighted, I don't need the whole Dragon Speaks or, you know, or VoiceOver where it says, oh, you're in a column. I tried that when I started my computer, but it was way too much.
So when you're saying it's way too much, it was just giving you too much information rather than giving you the information that you needed.
Right. Way too much information and way too much changes on my computer.
What kind of changes?
Like, for example, it'll say, let's say to click a button, it'll say shift, option, space. And I had to push those three buttons. And I'm like, oh, God, that was like, I don't need to do this. And it doesn't need to tell me I'm in a column. It doesn't need to tell me I'm in a button. And I can visually see those things.
Okay. So what? So
I went over to spoken content.
And what does spoken content give you? What does it tell you?
It reads to me, but my computer works like your husband's computer.
Okay. So it works just like a typical sighted person's computer, except that the content that you receive that's in an edit field or something like that is actually read out to you.
Yes. I put my pointer of my trackpad on where I want to read. It reads it.
And are there a system of keystrokes that you use as well, or does it just happen automatically?
No, it happens automatically.
Okay.
For example, if I want to read something, if I want to read a whole page, I hit Command A. It highlights and it reads.
A little bit like I would use that as a select all or read all function.
Yeah. But I only do that when I'm reading like a big news article or something and it just goes down. But when I want to read line by line, I just go pointer.
Okay. Do you know whether there are a lot of people with dyslexia who are using spoken content as a product to help them?
I don't know because I found it by accident.
Tell us that story.
Okay, I was dealing with VoiceOver, but my computer was just stuck. Mm-hmm. Right? I called Apple because I have Apple Care. And she was going to help me fix that. And she goes, and I go, no, I'm sighted. It's just too much information.
Yeah.
This is the accessibility rep telling me this. Okay? Yeah. I go, I have this. Try this. So I changed it and it works.
That's fantastic. It's good to know that there are alternatives around that you can use to give you the content that you need.
Right.
Thanks so much for sharing that with us. That's really awesome.
And what I like about it is if somebody else can touch my computer because it doesn't work abnormally, but I can still hear what they're doing.
Okay, I hear you. So it doesn't make the whole changes to the way that one interacts with the keyboard, the way VoiceOver does. Because I know a lot of people who decide they want to try VoiceOver and then it shifts everything and they can't switch it off because now their system works in a different way.
I'll tell you how to shut it off if you have anybody that knows that has that problem.
Yeah?
Have Siri shut it off.
That's a great idea. Thank you so much.
Tell Siri. Following command, you tap on the thing for like you do it, they do it twice, and Siri comes up, you say, turn off VoiceOver.
And that is such a neat and simple solution. Thank you for sharing that. You and I have chatted offline a couple of times.
Right.
And I know that you are involved in some volunteering activities. What volunteering do you do? Tell us about that.
Okay. I volunteer for the Red Cross, which I have to get back to. I'm an amateur radio operator along with an amateur radio examiner. And there's some challenges there I'm going to tell you about.
Okay. So before we get there, what do you do with the Red Cross? What kind of work are you doing to volunteer?
Right now, I want to go into an IT role And they get to train for that. Where, let's say somebody, they go out on deployment. I can sit at home and wait for a phone call for 12 hours.
Okay.
And if there's a problem, my computer will, I will look, go into my computer, find what they need and read it to them.
So is that kind of a support role in IT?
IT support, yeah. Some kind of IT support role.
Brilliant. Awesome. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
And now tell me about the ham amateur radio, because I'm really interested to learn a little bit more about that.
Okay. The way this started is I got into amateur radio because I was like bored one day. So I took my license and I didn't plan on becoming an examiner. Right?
Yeah.
This was not my plan. But I was in a group of, I was in a volunteer group for one of my local cities. And he said, I want more people to come in. He gave me, how do you want to do this? He said, the best thing I could do is I offer exams here, right?
Okay.
So I said to him, I have a saying. If I suggest an idea, right?
Yeah.
I will do it.
Yeah.
You know why I say I will do it? Because I will not put work on people.
Fair enough.
Right? If I'm going to put work on people, I'm going to put work on myself.
Yeah.
So I told him, okay, what do I need to do? He says, okay. He asked me a question. He asked me a question that I found weird at the time, but I figured it out. Hold on. Okay, now I'm back to you. I just had a tip. Okay, so he asked me if I could sign, right?
Okay.
If I could sign paper. I said, yes. Because you can't read my signature, but you can see it.
Yeah.
But if that's valid enough. So I said, yes. And I took this exam. I took an open book exam on my own because I didn't know what I was doing. Right?
Yeah.
And I got the accreditation. That's how I became an examiner. That's a process.
Why did he ask you about whether you could sign? Tell me a little bit about the challenges that he thought there might be.
Because you need to, in order to be an examiner at the time, you needed to physically sign a piece of paper.
Okay. And did he know about your dyslexia?
Yes. Yes. I'm very open when it comes to that. I tell people.
Okay.
Maybe not everybody in the group or in an organization, but the people that need to know, they know.
Right? And yet you say that something has recently changed in terms of needing that signature. Tell us about that.
That's a signature now is an electronic signature.
Okay. Which means you get it on your computer and
my phone.
Yeah.
We use our, if we go out in the field, we use phone.
Okay.
We have a website called Exam Tools. I open that website, I find a session, right? And I go to town.
Okay, so what exactly does the work of an amateur radio examiner get to do? Tell us some of the stories around that.
It's like a college proctor. Now it changed because now it's like a college proctor. Okay. What I mean by college proctor is a college proctor doesn't really grade the exam. They just process it.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, I forgot one. Oh, sorry, I forgot one thing. I was talking about the signature, but I forgot. In the beginning, when I started, we used to do paperwork on document.
Yeah.
And we had to physically look with a you know what a multiple choice exam a multiple choice answer key is.
Yeah, sure.
We had to look at that and compare the letters.
Okay.
And if they pass, there's three exams with two different number ratios. In a federal, I don't know how South Africa works, but when it's a federal exam, we don't even know the material. We know the answer key.
Okay.
We count either 35 or 50 questions depending on the exam. And if they got, I'll give you numbers. If on the 35 tests, if they got more than eight wrong, it failed. if you have on the 50, 9 or more and failed.
Okay.
So, what? Sorry.
Carry on.
So, I was seeing that somebody was failing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was seeing that people were failing, and they were failing for one crazy reason. They were not filling out all of the exams, all the little letters.
Okay, so that meant that it would be automatically wrong.
Yeah, if they don't fill out something, it's automatically marked wrong. You count it as the wrong one.
Okay.
So I'll tell you a story. So I was in this first place where I was in a group. Mm-hmm. The first place is the exam. I took it upon myself as an examiner. I have the right. I'm going to say the privilege of speaking to the examinees if there's a problem, right? So I simply said, please, gentlemen, ladies, please fill out all the things that are going to be counted wrong. And you know what one of the officers did that was also an examiner? He wasn't supposed to do it. He took away my authority. I'll tell you how. By yelling at me in front of everybody, saying, you're not supposed to do that. Don't talk to the candidates.
That seems almost counterproductive.
I know. And what I had a problem with, he was also disabled too, with some type of Parkinson's. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Some type of Parkinson's. So I'm like, okay, this guy. So I let him go. And, you know, I was mad because he was doing something wrong, counterproductive. Well, want me to tell you a story about that city identification?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Okay. For those of you that don't know, I carry multiple county and Red Cross and all kinds of things. I have like four or five identifications in my room here. For nonprofits, from county, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Depending on what I have. So what they did is in the city, one in this local city, they gave us a card, and it's hard card with a picture on it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the hard card decides to crack on me. It broke in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So I follow chain of command. I call him up. I said, my ID broke. I didn't say I lost it. Right? Remember that word, lost. Remember that word, broke. So I call him. He said, no, you lost it. We're not going to get another one. The same guy gave me another problem. Right? So I'm like, oh no, I got to deal with this. So what I did, my mom used to work at our local grocery store, right? There's this clear, white, clear packing tape that's really strong. I said, could you just ask your manager for a roll that's almost finished? I just need a piece. You know, I figured this out, right? So she taped it up and I took it with me. And I showed him to his face, here, it is not lost, it's broken, right?
Yeah.
So she tells me, okay, talk to the other person, but in a mad, in a rude way. You know, like, I'm pissed off because I'm wrong. That kind of thing. Then, so here comes the other part of the story. I take it into there, get it replaced, and you know what happened? The lady yelled at me because the ID looked altered.
Because you've fixed it to a degree.
To show him.
So you've now changed the ID.
Yeah, it looked altered. Because it was taped and cracked.
You know?
So you know what?
You can't win, can you?
So then she says to me, this looks altered. You're not supposed to do this. I'm like, yes. She said, you could have brought me the two pieces. I would have changed it. I'm like, I understand. But so-and-so told me that it was lost. I had to prove to him that it wasn't lost. So she changed my ID, no problem. And then in her office, as we're doing this, she writes a nasty email to the guy. And you know what he tells me? You got me in trouble. Like, I did not do anything.
We live in such a wonderful world, don't we? With so many people who have their own ways of seeing the world.
Right. No, and I'm going to tell you a final story about this group. When I first went and got my first ID, I went with my dad, and she almost took my dad's picture.
Okay. Was she making some assumptions there that because you had a disability that you obviously couldn't do the work?
Yes, you made the assumption. I had to correct her. She's like, oh, sorry. Yeah, no, those things happen that they annoy me.
I hear you. And yes, sadly, they do happen. You know, people seem to think of someone with it that if you've got a disability, it means you can't do things, that you have limited expectations of what is possible and things like that. And there's so much work that we need to do as a community to build awareness that, you know, despite the fact that we use different tools and techniques, we still manage to get things done and that we are immensely good at solving problems. Do you find that there are a number of other people with disabilities who are applying for their licenses as amateur radio operators?
No. And one of the reasons I became an examiner is because I saw nobody like me. That made me nervous. I'm going to tell you a story on just one thing I remember now that I'm talking to you. The first time I ever parked there in an exam. I didn't intend to proctor that day. I intended just to sit and listen and watch. Because I think that's a good way of learning.
Sure.
Because one thing is the book work, but how does the team work? How do the three examiners work? What's different? What's not? Right? So the guy, and one of the gentlemen says to me, he was working for the county. He's been there 12 hours a day. So he says to me, are you going to take an exam? He didn't even look at my shirt because we wear a badge on our shirt.
Okay.
That says examiner on. If you were sighted, I would show it to you. I can legally do that. Right? He didn't look at the badge. He goes, and so I go, no, I'm here too. I'm an examiner, right?
Yeah.
He says, I'm going home. There were four, including myself. There's supposed to be three. So I am waiting here. I am hoping to listen, to learn, right?
Yeah.
He leaves. So you know what I have to do?
You had to step into that place.
I have to jump in and work. And I was nervous like crazy.
I can imagine. For your first time,
I've never done it before. And I'm happy to deal with this.
That really is jumping straight in, isn't it?
I didn't want to do that, but what happened?
Oh, my word. Sometimes I guess we just make the best of the situation.
So one time I went to an exam session. A guy called me and said, can I bring some more people? I said, yeah, because they missed one. And I see a guy standing around with an examiner badge on, just standing around, not doing anything. So I went up to him in my wheelchair. I have cerebral palsy. What I do for distance or if I'm in a hurry, I wheelchair.
Okay, but you don't use, you're not constantly, you do have the choice. So you are able to walk, you are ambulatory to a degree.
Yeah, I walk around the house, I go in restaurants, when I go in restaurants. So your listeners that are, if there are any blind listeners that are not, that need to understand this, I am sitting right now in a regular desk chair. In a roll around chair.
Okay. Gotcha.
So that's where I'm at. So I'm sitting here, I'm this guy. I go up to this guy. I see him with a badge on. Right? And he's looking around like a deer in headlights. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna help you. Because of the experience I had. So I go to him, go get me the answer key to this. I gave him a piece of paper, the test paper, and said, go get me this answer key. Bring it to me. and we're going to work it together. And I said, compare. I'm following along with his what he's doing. I'm following along. And we finished looking at it, and I look at it, and I said, I agree with it. Two people have to agree. So if we don't agree, something, we got to do something, reconcile it.
Yep.
So I go, I agree with you. So I went ahead and I initialed the test. Put my initials down, saying I agree. Then I said, okay, initial that, right?
Yeah.
I said, do not put pass or fail yet, right?
Yeah.
So we called somebody over and we said, hey, could you confirm what we know here? So he goes, okay. So he says, he puts a pass on it, checks off pass, signs it, initials it, and then we do the paperwork.
Okay.
So I said to him, fill this out for me. I give my call sign and I sign. Do the other thing on the other paperwork. And we sign the pass and check our pass. And you go, and you know what I told the guy? I said, you congratulations, you did your first exam.
Cool.
Because I know it's like.
Yeah.
I know what it's like.
That mentorship role is so important when you're starting out in a new activity.
Right. When we changed over to, because when we changed over to computer, being that I use special transportation to get around, and where we do exams, it's very difficult to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
For me.
Yeah.
You know the story that I'm going to tell for the listeners, right? We're not in the same building with the security officer that has access to the gate.
Okay.
So I can't sit there with the security officer to make sure he or she doesn't walk away.
Yeah.
What happens if my ride goes and they walk away and they take too long and they walk away?
Oh.
I get stuck. So what I used to do, I used to stay there with them, right? Tell them at 9 o'clock in the night, there's going to be this going on. So please don't walk away from me until I leave. Right?
Yeah.
And if you're going to walk away, take your phone with you without call. Okay. So, but what happens is now we're in another building. So I don't have access to that. I have no way of ensuring that that person is not going to walk away to do her rounds or whatever.
Yeah.
So now what I have to do is which I don't like to. I had to work from home.
Okay.
Using Zoom and my computer, I can do that.
Yeah.
That's why you'll see B.E. Leonard Gross on top of my screen. That's what that signifies is that I'm a volunteer examiner.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Right.
It's signified on top of my Zoom, and I noticed it now. I'm looking at my screen. I noticed it now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Awesome.
But what happened was during COVID, I did my first exam during COVID online. Could you imagine learning something with COVID?
not just during the pandemic, but when you actually were living with COVID at the time.
I was actively sick.
Wow. How did that impact on you?
Oh, it was terrible. My guy said, oh, no, you don't have to go do it. You're sick. I go, no. I'm sitting behind my computer all day long anyway. I'm here. So, but, that was difficult. Because I had to sit in front of a screen for an hour. Yeah, no, that was crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So I was like, okay. And so that's my first experience as an exam as a remote examiner online with COVID.
You live a very eventful life, Leonard.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me say, as a matter of fact, let me talk about this for a minute. At what point do you want to talk about from my podcast?
We're going to get there right now.
Okay. No, I just want to tell you because I'm done with my stories.
Okay. So, you have a podcast. You've mentioned that already. It's called The Disabled Life.
Right.
What made you start a podcast?
Okay. During COVID, all my volunteer opportunities ended. Not ended, but shut down.
Yeah.
Because I'm back to work now. I'm good. Right. So I said, I'm sick. I'm bored. I can't do anything about this. So I started on Anchor, which is now Spotify for podcasters. And then I started it and I realized, the audio I don't like. Right? You follow where I'm going with this? So I purposely bought this computer that I'm on right now. For your listeners, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what a purpose buy is?
It's something that is bought for a specific purpose.
Right. But I made a purpose buy for that. I made a purpose buy so I could do my podcast.
Okay.
So my mom said, okay, just do Facebook, whatever, to learn your computer. But I'm thinking, okay, I have to learn how interface works. So I start doing my podcast on the computer through their website, which is no longer possible anymore. So I do this and do this, okay? So then I decide, how do I want to do this? I want to bring guests on. How do I do it, right? So I started doing a bunch of research online. I was a lone wolf at the time. You know what I mean when I call a lone wolf?
I would imagine that it means that you were doing solo episodes.
No, lone wolf meant I didn't know anything about my podcast. I didn't know anything about that.
Oh, okay. Well, I think, you know, let's talk a little bit about the podcast then and explain, you know, you do some solo episodes.
Right.
And you do some episodes with guests. So what kind of people do you have as guests on your show?
Okay, I had authors, a disability-related author. I had a woman that is disabled with dyslexia, and she is a paraprofessional.
Mm-hmm. When you say a paraprofessional, what does she do?
Like a person that assists in the classroom.
Okay, awesome. So like a paraeducator.
Yes. I'm sorry, I'm using the American term because that's what I mean. That's what it is.
Okay. And I believe also had someone on who has been a guest on my show, a lady who is involved in accessible travel.
Right. I'll tell the story about her for your listeners. I booked her. I had her, we were talking, you know, the way I do things is I have one meeting with people and I just book it that day. I find out whether I want the person or not. And I just, if I say this person is good for me, I'll book it.
Yeah.
Right. So I book her and I confirm it. Right. And we were supposed to get my bathroom remodeled the weekend after that. Well, okay, so I do all this. I'm actually sitting I say, okay, next Saturday at blah, blah, blah time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally sitting at my computer still. And my mom says, oh no, they're coming this weekend on Saturday.
Oh no.
I'm literally sitting at my computer, literally just here, you know? I just said, go for it. Right? Then, hold on, let me turn it up because this keeps talking and keeps snapping. I don't like it. Okay, sorry about that. I turned my microphone off because it kept snapping.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh no. So they're making all this demolition noise. I'm like, 3 o'clock comes around. I'm okay because they're 9 o'clock. They showed up at 10. They're supposed to show up at 9 o'clock. So I'm getting nervous. 3 o'clock's coming and they're still here making ungod about noise. Right? So I said 7 o'clock, right? They leave at 6 o'clock. So the minute they leave, I go to set up.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
So my mom thinks I'm going to sleep. She doesn't know. I just disappeared. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, recording on. She comes in the room an hour later and I'm like, she comes in and I'm like, I'm done. And she's like, what happened? I go, I just finished my first guest.
So this was your first guest as well.
Dealing with all that cost. You know, that stress. Oh, let me finish this. And okay, when I got my recorder, my mom says, so I asked my mom, I was thinking of using it because I already knew how to use it. I knew how to transfer files and all this. She says, oh no, wait till somebody shows you. I'm like, oh no. So I had my IT buddy come in. He came in for something. I said, I need a favor from you. I need to stand here. She knows it's not. I can say it. And let me show you how I do my podcast. Mm-hmm. How I transfer my files. So you can just tell my mom that I know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He laughed at me, but he knew why. He laughed, but he knew what I was doing. So that's how it's like. I had watched videos. I knew how to do it.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about your solo episodes, because those are usually a lot shorter. What is it that you choose to share on your solo episodes?
I think it's about my life.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of things?
Things that happen. Like, I did blood work and they screwed up something. And I had to end up calling my doctor's office, right?
Mm-hmm.
I ended up calling my doctor's office too. And they had to send paperwork and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I had to do all this. And things that go wrong, like things in my transportation, bad or good. Most of them, they're bad.
Yeah. So kind of the day-to-day, your day-to-day life and just letting people know about your lived experience.
Yes. As we came on, before we hit the record option, we were talking about the podcast support community. I'm a member of this community.
Yeah.
So I was, so it's one of these things. And it's hard when you first start a podcast.
Of course. There's a lot of uncertainty with anything new.
Right. And you are, and like I said to you before, I was a lone wolf.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you a quick story that still moves me to this day. I have to be careful here because I know her first name. She doesn't want me to use it.
Sure. There's a person.
I have to be careful. Yeah. So I'm gonna use her acronym. She is called Mama D.
Mm-hmm.
Pedal to support.
Mm-hmm.
She asked whether that she asked people for stories or show topics for her show. Right? Yeah. So I said, I don't call much. I'm dyslexic. I have difficulty texting. I would prefer to call you.
Okay.
Yeah, so she gives me her number and I call her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a nervous wreck that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know why I'm a nervous wreck?
Well, if you're not as used to phoning people and calling people, and particularly someone who is already established in the industry, that can be very nerve-wracking.
A stranger on top of everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
So I hear you. I call her. I'm like, ooh, scary. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, scary. So then I call her and she takes some time out of her day to chat with me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, to this day, we're friends.
That's cool. That's really awesome. And having that kind of network is so important in any industry, right. In any community. Right.
So we still chat. We chat often.
Yeah.
It's more now on a friendly level. We talk about family. We talk about all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But I am going to tell you a story. This is related to all this, so you understand where I'm going. I told you the story about about when she gave me constructive criticism.
Yep. Tell my listeners.
So I'm going to tell you for listeners. Okay. So saw my mom. I let my mom listen to my episode with this one I can use because she's a name on the podcast herself. Maria Humphries from Puddles from the podcast support community.
Mm-hmm.
She came on with me because she's a meditation teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to her and my mom told me, you're interjecting too much. Mm-hmm. So I let her listen to my recording. I'm like, is it true or not? Right? Well, I asked Mama D from Pillars of Support as a friend. I said, did you listen to my episode? She said, yes. She said, tell me honestly what you think about it. Because I can take it, you know?
Yep.
But I don't like it when people just start abruptly telling me things. Right? That's annoying. If I ask you, it's because I want to visit you. You follow where I'm going with that?
Yep.
So she told me, oh, okay. Because my mom told me that. So let me get a podcast at this point. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because I agree with my, okay, my mom told me something, I'm fine with it. But if a podcasting colleague says the same thing, I'm more apt to change it at that point.
I hear you. Yeah.
Because, you know, because we know what we're looking for. Right? We know.
Yeah.
So she tells me that, hey, you're interjecting too much. This and that. That Maria Humphries sounded frustrated. I'm like, okay. I didn't think it was that much. But then she said it. Okay, well, go with that. So that happened. Oh, as a matter of fact, when I first joined the community, I left. Because I didn't know how to interact with them. Because I didn't understand what they were doing. And also, they didn't understand that I was not clear. I did not tell them that I had dyslexia.
Okay.
And they were complaining that the posts weren't right. You know?
Okay.
But it wasn't my fault. It was the computer doing this. So I jumped back in. And now we're friendly. Mm-hmm. She's friendly now. Actually, she's coming back on my show again.
Brilliant.
She's coming back on my show.
Talking about your show then, where can people find it? And if people would like to reach out to you, where can they find you online?
Okay. My email is just a little bit strange because it wasn't made for podcasting. I have to make another one for podcasting because this one's a little bit strange for that. I'm going to go ahead and give you that.
Okay.
So you guys can, it's just letters. I'm going to go ahead with it. KE4KEY@gmail.com.
Repeat that.
Okay. I'm going to give you phonetics. KE4KEY@gmail.com.
Okay. Great. But if I'm correct, you don't really prefer using email. What is the best way for people to actually communicate with you?
I can use email, but it's just more cumbersome.
Yeah, sure.
As you see, for your listeners' purposes, I had you send me a link on Messenger, on Facebook Messenger, and I clicked on it and we were on live.
Yeah.
Facebook Messenger works for me. Most of my interactions work through that. And the reason I gave you my email address, if you follow me on Twitter, is at that. It's at that mess. I'm also on Twitter. I've been thinking about doing some Twitter spaces, talking about disability, or Maria Humphries' suggestion. The reason I haven't done them yet is my phone is broken. It works when it wants to.
Yeah.
I tried to get onto a Twitter space the other day and I was mad. I was frustrated because the phone would not work.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine you get invited to a space and your phone doesn't work?
Ah, the joys of technology. When it works, no, it's amazing. But when it doesn't, it can be so frustrating.
No, it was. I got frustrated. And I said to her, it doesn't work. I didn't mean for it to start. I didn't mean to sound frustrated, but what happened?
So now that Twitter is called X.
Right.
Does that mean that a Twitter space is an X space?
Mm. Oh, what's funny about Twitter is when I want to go on Twitter, I just say twitter.com.
Yeah.
And it does it.
Okay. So what I'll do is I'll add the links into Messenger and just ask you to check them for me if you're okay with that.
Yeah, no, and also you can follow me on Spotify and others like Google. The easiest way, because I forget some, and I'm like six of them. Six places my podcast is, I forget. If you want to find me, you want to find an alternate option. Apple Podcast is one of them, right? If you want to find out any alternates, just go to my public site on Spotify for podcasters, and the listings are there.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for that. I'll make certain that those links are also included. Great. So Leonard, as a final question, what does the future hold for Leonard Gross?
Well, I know I'm going to continue podcasting. I found my voice, and I hope to find somebody to spend my life with. Let me say that.
Great. That sounds like.
And I hope to continue doing all the volunteer work that I do, maybe in a different way, but I'm still doing what I have to do. I don't let this thing stop me.
Well, I think that is a fantastic place to end our show today. Leonard Gross, thank you so much for coming on to A Different Way of Seeing.
You don't want me to talk about travel a little bit?
I think, you know, I think let's leave it at this stage.
Okay.
And
okay.
It's been really good to listen to find out a little bit more about the radio. So yeah. But thank you so much for coming on to A Different Way of Seeing. It's been really great to chat to you and learn a little bit more about the work that you're doing.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, this is Lois again, and here's the favor that I want to ask you to help me with. You know, producing podcasts is a lot of fun. I love bringing each show and interviewing my guests and letting you know a little bit about our lives as people living with disabilities. But producing each episode also takes a huge amount of time and effort. If you enjoy what we're doing here on A Different Way of Seeing, I would really appreciate it if you would hop on to your podcast platform, be it iTunes or Spotify, and rate and review the show. Let me know what you think of what I am producing. It also helps other listeners to know what they will be discovering if they choose to invest their time into listening to an episode. You know, I've heard other podcasters refer to reviews and ratings as the love language for podcasters. And that really is true because it helps new people to find the show. So if you do have a few minutes and if you'd like to help, please rate and review the show on either iTunes or on Spotify. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I can't tell you how much it means to me.
Thank you for listening to A Different Way of Seeing. We would love to connect with you. So find Lois at loisstrachan.com or Facebook, Lois Strachan Speaker. This podcast was edited by Craig Strachan using Hindenburg Pro. Hindenburg, it's all about the story. The credits are done at Naledi Media. Naledi Media, all your vocal needs under one roof. Read by Charlie Yazzie. That's it for now. Thank you for joining us and see you next time when we bring you into the world of seeing differently.